Well, again, good morning, everybody. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 14. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. And while you are turning there, I do want to say thank you to everybody who was involved in the cleaning day yesterday and throughout the week to really make this place look so nice and so good for our when we gathered together, but we did it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just, everywhere I look, I think, oh man, that's been dealt, that done. It's just such a blessing to see it. And there were so many people, young and advanced and everybody in between. And being involved, loving one another, encouraging one another, and yet working and getting so much done. And to God be the glory. This morning we are going to work on the topic of the subject of anger at the book of Proverbs. Addressed for those who are visiting with us, we have been doing a series in the book of Proverbs. The first nine chapters lean and lead very easily to an expositional style of breaking up each passage and working our way through. By the time you get to chapter 10 to the rest of the book, it is usually broken up into one, two, or three little clusters of verses. It appears, but it's not. It's in purpose. It's intentional to be random, but they're not. So what I am in trying to do is the first nine chapters talked about the importance of getting wisdom, and seeking to live a life that is one of wisdom and wise, as opposed to foolishness and folly and sin. Chapter 10 on, we are going to try to bring out all the different topics and subjects and themes that the book of Proverbs addresses. The different, a wise man does it and a fool does it. This is an act of wisdom, this is an act of folly. And our subject today, I have simply entitled The Hallmark of the Hothead, the one who it gets angry. And what you should have in your way of outline to make it easy, you'll notice there are the text of all of the verses that I found that touch our related topic, and I have put them on the back so you can have a ready reference so you don't have to have all your fingers in through Proverbs, but turn back and look. If not, just go ahead and just take notes. And so the Proverbs addresses the sin of anger, the folly of being angry when crossed and hurt. Today we'll be learning about the angry person who does not have control of their emotions in Proverbs. We will learn about their character traits and glean wisdom on how they hurt people and destroy relationships so we can avoid the same pitfall. The verse I had you look up was Proverbs 14 verse 17, which is the first one, or actually the third one on the list in the back, or you can have it open to your Bible. Simply state, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intention is hated. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. May we take heed to your word. Your word is from you. You have said that all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for correction, instruction, rebuke, so we can be what you would have it to be. Every word that comes forth from you comes from your mouth and has authority. It is instructive. It is words that we need to heed and listen to, pay attention, incline our ears. Lord, help us to avoid being dull of hearing. Help us to listen with the intent of examining our lives, changing our lives when we need to align to the Word. And may it align to wisdom, the path of rightness and righteousness, not in the path of folly and foolishness. So, Lord, be with us as we work our way through this topic. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, I have the idea of the word anger and wrath in Proverbs. My very first verse was 14, verse 17. I'll read it again. It simply said, a quick-tempered man act foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. Proverbs 25, verse 28, whoever had no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And in Proverbs 27, verse 3 and 4, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel, anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? So in these three verses, I have simply used the sampling of these three verses to show us the sin, folly, and foolishness of getting angry when crossed or hurt. The Bible speaks much about the sin of anger. Oh yes, I'm very much aware of righteous indignation. I'm very much aware of Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. I know that possible to have the emotion of anger and not sin, but most of us are not in that category. Most of us have sinful anger and sinful reaction to when crossed or hurt. And that is exactly what Proverbs is addressing. One of the things that I learned when I went through all of the verses here, it uses the following word to describe the hothead. Anger, wrath, fury, indignation, furious, quick-tempered, impulsive, jealousy, and envy that produces anger. Proverbs uses five different Hebrew words for anger, using them 34 times between those five Hebrew words. That's why we have such a cluster of different words to give us all the different shades of the same emotion of reacting with anger when crossed. The word literally means snorting through one's nose when displeased, crossed, or agitated. In other words, they're just so hot and bothered and agitated that they're snorting out their nose. It's that kind of picture that this Hebrew words and these words together mean. This person allows themselves to get all worked up. This is a person who's like a bomb with a short fuse. A heated person, hot tempered. We had a lady in our church in North Bend. We called her Grandma, and she always had a phrase or a statement that I'll never forget. And when somebody was angry, she always used the phrase, red in the face, mad. That's this angry person. There are some people actually get red in the face when they get mad. They don't even have to say a word, but it's obvious something not good going on inside the heart. This lack of control over one's spirit is unbecoming, disruptive, and injurious toward others. One of the hallmarks of a fool is their anger is easily triggered and completely ungovernable and regulated. When they get tripped, watch out. This person is known for flying off the handle. The word fury and rage is used. They attack people verbally or physically. This is the quick-tempered one. But don't rule out the passive aggressive. Though a lot of these things talked about a person with a short fuse and a person who's quick-tempered and a person who had an outburst and reactive. And those are common and easy to spot. But the person who's the passive aggressive, this is in the group as well. They are they have what I call a prolonged anger. They are, their anger burned, their sinful anger burned for a long time. Their anger is more calculated than reactive and explosive. The passive-aggressive anger allows the hurt to fester, and they dwell on it for a long time and replay the hurt over and over in their mind till the pain is always fresh. This is what keeps their anger festering and fester. They stew, they simmer, they burn for a long time in planning for payback. They get at you not so much by hurting you, but by making you look bad before others, trying to get you frustrated and getting you to look like the one who has the issue. They know how to push your button. They are very patient, but the source of the anger is still the same, to get back at the person who hurt them. These people, whether it's the one who quick-tempered or the passive-aggressive, these people foolishly respond to correction, rebuke, and conflict by reacting and not by being slow to anger or of a calm spirit. They show their folly by being impatient, short, and hasty when they are hurt or crossed. So that's the summary of what Proverbs teaches us about anger and all the different words they use in here repeatedly over and over. Point number two brings us to the opposite side. The person who is wise. The person who is slow to anger and calm spirit. You'll notice the two verses I have listed there. They are on your back on the list. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who ruled his spirit than he who takes a city. Here we have the idea, first one that I wanted to address, is the idea of slow to anger. They are those who are long-suffering and patient. They have control over their emotion. When they're hurt or crossed or somebody disagrees or misunderstands or misrepresents them, they don't react and attack to hurt. That's their way to change the mind of the other person. This person is slow to anger. The word is long-suffering and patient. This phrase was used 13 times. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. That phrase was used 13 times in the Old Testament. And every time it was used outside of Proverbs, it would reference to the slow of anger that God had for sinners. Think about that for a moment. Because what made me want to do it, I was surprised to find this out, that I wanted to know what the flow of anger looked like. And when you get outside of Proverbs and you get outside of how it flowed to anger on the human level, every other time it would Jude from Genesis to Malachi, with the exception of Proverbs, it would always reference to God being slow to wrath and slow to anger. Exodus 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. That word long-suffering is the exact Hebrew word and phrase that we are using here for slow to anger. And it goes on to say, and abounding in goodness and truth. Nehemiah 9:17. Let's get the context of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, in the scheme and the history of Israel, you have Israel starting with Abraham. They're in Egypt, the Exodus, go to Mount Sinai, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They go into the promised land, the northern kingdom go into the Assyrian captivity, the southern kingdom go into the Babylonian captivity. And those who came back from the Babylonian captivity, Nehemiah was on the second wave of that group coming back to help rebuild the wall. So we're talking about the part of Israel's history where they had to pay the price for their unfaithfulness to the covenant with their God in 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And here's what he said in Nehemiah 9 verse 17. It's in reference to the people and the great God that they serve. They refused to obey the people, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their neck, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Psalms 86, verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalms 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Psalms 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Beloved, when we have to follow the pattern of Proverbs where it said to be, if you want to be a wise person, you need to be slow to anger. Our slow anger needs to be modeled and patterned after God. Here are some other passages that uses the same phrase in the Hebrew. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit, that's the phrase, patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So if you want to be slow to anger, you need to be very patient in your spirit or in your emotion. Jeremiah 15, 15, O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors in your enduring patience. Same phrase, enduring patience. Do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. And then in the Minor Prophets in Joel chapter 2 verse 13, listen to these words. It gives us the insight, the difference between being slow to wrath versus quick tempered. Joel said this, so rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. The purpose of being patient, enduring, long-suffering, slow to wrath, is to bring about change in the heart. Here he said this, don't worry about ripping your clothes out of shock and awe, so to speak, of the whore, which was an act, a symbolic act of, you know, this is a terrible thing, and the ripping of one clothes. And he said, I'd rather you rend or rip your heart open. In other words, your heart be changed. And then it goes on to talk about that God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, with great kindness. All of those things cluster in to make that possible. You can't simply be a person who is slow to anger and not gracious and not merciful and not kind. It all works together. The purpose of long-suffering again and being slow to anger to bring about change that is in the heart, not just some outward conformity because of fear or pain. Because when people are angry and they lash out to being hurt or crossed in an angry way, they're trying to create change by fear or pain. That's foolish, folly, wrong, unwise, does not build hearts and transform lives. Let me give you a good New Testament verse. Write this down. James 1, 19 and 20. James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Your human sinful wrath does not create change in the heart. Anger that's sinful and reactive and short-tempered and using Proverbs, that is foolish and folly, it's hurtful and destructive, and we're accountable for it. God is telling us not to go there. Those who are quick-tempered want to punish and bring about shame through fear, pain, and disfavor, instead of being transformed by their heart because of patience and long-suffering and exposing them to truth, using compassion and all the other things such as graciousness and merciful, being merciful and kind. Now don't think for a second that you're becoming, oh man, if I do that, I'm going to be a doormat and they're going to walk all over me and take advantage of me. No, no, there's a proper way to handle those things. I'll give you an example. The minor prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, says this. Listen to these words. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. What a balance. Slow to anger, great in power. In other words, he had power, unlimited, infinite power if he needs to act. And then he closed with this phrase. And will not at all acquit the wicked. In other words, God will in the end judge the wicked. They will never get off free. They will be addressed, but he's patient for change. He's patient for their repentance. He wants them to rend their hearts and return to him. Just like in our relationship when we have people that hurt us or cropped us or disagreed with us and we take it personal, or because of pride we react in a way that is wrong. Instead of being patient and long-suffering to help bring about change and maturity and growth. Oh, beloved, the wicked want to hurt people to bring change. Proverbs 17:27, which is the second verse in this second point, says this: he who had knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Notice that. Instead of speaking their mind, telling them like it is, I'm going to speak the truth. You know, instead of being sparing your words, careful what you say, calm. The word calm is the word that was translated, the word also, the word excellent and of a noble spirit. What is interesting, when you look at Proverbs 17:27, which I just read, he who had knowledge spared his word, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. The very next verse says this, listen carefully. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lip, he is considered perceptive. So if you're upset, it's better to say nothing and be thought of and perceived as somebody who might be wise. I have always had this quote I have never forgotten many, many years ago. Better to be thought a fool than to open mouth and remove all doubt. It's better for people to think you might be a fool instead of you opening your mouth and sharing your thoughts and removing that doubt, and they now know you are a fool. Beloved, we are to be understand there is wisdom in being careful in the things we say and how we react. Here, talking about the positive, the wide court, in conflict and interaction with people. Here we have a cool and calm head, which is the opposite of a hot head. This person knows how to restrain their temper and tongue. They know how to hold back and wait. to be gentle, to be kind. They are longing to bring about the change through long suffering rather than being reactive and explosive in the fit of fury and rage, which is folly. A quiet spirit, noble, excellent spirit, one who is slow to wrath or anger and long suffering is much better. So in point number three, I have chosen to show the conflict or the contrast between the wise versus the fool in response to conflict. Starting with in Proverbs 14, verse 29, he who is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Now you see the two side by side. Here you got the person who is slow to wrath. They have great understanding. They have great discernment. They are careful. They are slow to wrath. They don't react. Now don't confuse the passive aggressive who may be slow to wrath. There's a difference between being slow to wrath and letting change come about through truth versus long-term simmering with the same goal to hurt or to get back at the person. There's a huge difference. The goal is vastly different. Passive aggressive may have the appearance of being slow, but what's their end game? Bring about change or to get even or to hurt? Back to our topic here. The character traits of an angry person are as followed. In chapter 14, verse 17, it said that the quick-tempered man acts foolishly. And a man of wicked intentions is hated. When a person is in the heat of anger, they will always display folly. Why is that? Because their anger clouds their judgment and robs them of all sense of perspective. When an angry person is in the passion of their anger, they will listen to no counsel and submit to no control. They just got to get it off their chest and make it pointed and direct. One of the irony of a person who is quick-tempered is they instantly realize whether they, in the quick-tempered one, they do one of three things. They attack you personally by verbal. They attack you physically, or they break something valuable of yours to get even or to hurt you back. Usually people who are like that instantly realize what they have done and they blow up and then they calm back down and, oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean it. That's why you should not be quick-tempered. You are to watch and regulate your soul and remain calm during every time kind of conflict that happens in your life. Now, the passive aggressive is going to take the slow game and frustrate you and try to create a problem a different route. But the point is, the person who is an angry person that we see here, they do not listen to advice, nor will they allow themselves to be calmed down and brought under control. They react to the situation and they act impulsively. That's what the text said. They act, he who is impulsive exalts folly, and they act foolishly. They act impulsively in ways that are out of proportion to the situation. Proverbs 14:29 again, he who is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Well, that's the opposite we want to be in the light of Proverbs, amen? We want to be wise. We want to live a life of wisdom. Manifest wisdom. But if you're impulsive, explosive, short-tempered, hothead, you exalt folly instead of wisdom. Not only that, the angry person uses harsh words and stirs up strife instead of being long-suffering in relationship. We see that in Proverbs 29, verse 22. In your list, an angry man stirs up strife and a furious man abounds in transgression. They did one after another. They Anger. That's their answer. That's their MO, modus of operandi. They constantly, this is how they try to fix the problem. Through anger. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allies contention. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. People who are angry love to stir the pot. Wherever they go, they are constantly stirring up agitation and irritation because they don't know anything else. I found a quote that I thought was pretty good. It's an old saying that went like this. Usually it takes two to make a quarrel, but it only takes one person to stir up a hornet's nest. You can have one angry person in a crowd and they can stir up all kinds of contentions and issues within that group because they initiated it. Proverbs 19:19 said this, the man of great wrath will suffer punishment. Listen to this. Again, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Did you hear what Solomon said there? The idea here is people who are angry people, and you feel sorry for them, and you deliver them, and oh, he didn't mean it, and you try to placate to them, you're going to have to do it again and again because they don't change. Anger is a hard one to root out of people because they have learned for so long to get their results through their hurting people, whether it's physically, emotionally, with words, calculated intention to create tension in a relationship. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. That's part of the reaping and sowing law that God had built into a moral universe. And yet, when you try to deliver them, it's a problem. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Why? Let you learn his ways and set a snare to your soul. So we need to understand that we need to stay away from people and not make friends with people who are angry people, because we will eventually pick up their habit. That's what it says. Let you learn their ways and it becomes a snare to your life. Why is it a snare? It takes you off to the path of rightness and wisdom and taking the high ground and the path that God would have us all take, in the way of wisdom, in the fear of the Lord, and in the knowledge of the Holy One. Clearly, we see here a person who is angry they have not learned to govern or control their emotion. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever had no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now, the significance of that background, in the days of antiquity, it was a very common thing before there were governments and states and counties and so on and so forth. Each city would kind of their own government to themselves. And the only way a city can protect itself is to build walls around it. And usually you want to have a wall that can't be penetrated and it would hide so they couldn't come up easy. Sometimes they would put a moat around it with a drawbridge to make it even harder to scale the walls of the city. So the whole idea here would, the more fortified the wall around the city and the more difficult it was to take down that wall, the stronger the defense for the city. So in the light of that, a person who can't control or rule their own spirit is like a city who had no wall. They are They have no defense. They're just going to go fly off the handle from one emotion to another, from one conflict to another, from one hurt to another, and never learn what they need to learn. People in relationship are not built by explosive, impulsive, angry spirits. It's done by being patient, long-suffering, slow to wrath. So in summary, the angry person is a composite of the following if I were to take all of these together. They are angry, wrathful, wicked, unreasonable, cruel, quick-tempered, impulsive, furious, backbiting, jealous, and they exalt themselves. Now let's look at the wise person. The wise person who is long-suffering and slow to anger. Those who are calm-spirited are those who think clearly and act rationally and calmly. One of the things is their thought processes and their heart desired good, found in Proverbs 11, verse 23. Look at this. The desire of the righteous is only good. Their desires, their intention, their outcome is for a good result. The reason why I put that in the context of anger is because the second half of that verse said this, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The wicked in the end will produce wrath because they want their way, whether right or wrong, pushing it. Constantly trying to push the envelope. In fact, one of the verses I didn't put in my message, but it's on your lid. If you turn on the back side of your lid, look it all the way down at the bottom. Proverbs 30, verse 32 and 3. If you have been foolish and exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. For as the churning of milk produced butter, and the wringing the node produced blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. In other words, I love the imagery here. If you're going to churn milk, it's going to turn into butter. If you're going to take somebody's nose and wring their, twist their nose, they're going to get a bloody nose. It's the same is true of somebody who pushes wrath and anger. They're just going to stir up the pot. You don't get good things as a result of pushing buttons and starting fights. That's what the wicked do. But the righteous, it's not that way. The wise one, their desire is good. With good intentions, with good ending, wholesome, calm spirits, unity, love, togetherness. A calm and gentle spirit uses soft and wholesome words to curtail contention and anger. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. 15:18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allied contention. How do they do that? They look for ways to calm the situation down. They don't get into the situation and make it worse. They don't constantly throw tit for tat. They don't throw in words that stirs up more, take it to the next level, and, well, if that's there, what about this? And then it just escalates. People who have a calm and gentle spirit uses soft words and wholesome words to curtail contention and strife. People who are of this gentle and calm spirit are the opposite of the angry and the foolish. Now notice this. Look at your verse in the back of Proverbs 14, verse 17, which is the third one on the list. Now what I want to show you here is it's going to make the statement explicitly for the angry person. Then I'm going to show you then in practicality, the opposite is true for the righteous and the wise. Noted Proverbs 14:17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, A man of wicked intentions is hated. Now do just the opposite as you read it. A slow to wrath person acts wisely. A man of godly intentions is loved. Just the opposite. And you'll see this contrast over and over and over that you will see. And so it's perfectly okay and right that he even take this verse, which is explicitly to the wicked, to show where the white man would just do the opposite of that. So we have here that the ones who are slow to anger act widely and love because they have good intention. People who are slow to anger are people governed by wisdom. They don't, it's not that they have a personality trait that makes them less confrontative. No. They have a much higher ground in the context of Proverbs. They are driven by wisdom and discernment that does not produce good stuff. A calm spirit and slow to wrath and long suffering does. They are governed by wisdom and discernment. Proverbs 14:29. We've seen that often throughout this. It said that he who is slow to wrath had great understanding. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. It's not just the person saying, well, I just don't like to waste my time by getting angry. Well, that kind of person doesn't really fix the end game. The idea is to restore relationship and to resolve issues. You either do it long-suffering and being patient or bring about change of heart versus how dare you and be explosive and try to help hurt people and make them feel the weight of your anger rather than the truth of their folly. Proverbs 19:11 again, the destruction of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. That idea gives me the concept that people who are slow to wrath are forgiving people. They are willing to overlook transgression. We're not trying to enable somebody in their sin, but there are a lot of things that happen to us that doesn't need an outburst. Not everything that's said against us is worthy of an impulsive reaction. Many a time we can just simply give the benefit of the doubt, and you know, maybe they're having a bad day. Don't have to personally react in anger to anything and everything. People who are slow to anger overlook that stuff. Those who rule over their emotions are better than those given to anger. That is seen in Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger, notice, is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city. So you got this soldier who in the fit of raging and fighting and fury and warfare goes and conquers places and battles and so on and fights. God is saying a person who is able to control their spirit, who is slow to anger, who rules their spirit, is better than a soldier who knows how to, so to speak, get the job done. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. All you have to do is, you know the Bible. We know by the reaping and sowing principle that those who sow peace and love reap the same with many blessings with it. That's why, beloved, there are so many different motives and reasons for why we should be slow to anger and calm in our spirit when cross or hurt. I can't stress this enough. You already know it. I'm going to give it to you on the other side. And that is, again, Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man. A wise man will not make friends with angry people. That, all of it, from the youngest to the oldest. I know when I say that, it's such a blanket statement. Somebody's going to say, but what if it's a family member? You can't get away from them. You don't have to hang around them so often that you learn their ways. Pray for them. Pray with intent. They need a change on that anger issue. Be an instrument in God's hand to help them to see the folly and error of their way. Give them the verses. Pray that God will take His word to touch your heart. That, you know, buddy, this is not the way to go. You ever notice people don't hang around you because you just don't have friends? People don't hang around angry people. They hang around angry people for things they can possibly get from them, but make no friends with them. It says that. And a wise person will not make friends with angry people. So in summary, these people who are slow to wrath and of a calm spirit are people who are viewed in God's eyes as righteous, good, prudent, slow to anger, calm in spirit, have wisdom and discernment, forgiving, and absorb insults and hurts. So in closing, I want to share a few exhortations to forsake anger if you have this problem. Psalm 37, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Matthew 5:22, the Lord Jesus Himself. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And for the Christian, we have been commanded to put off certain things, put on certain things. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So, beloved, to be angry, to be a hothead, to be short-tempered is foolish and folly. To be slow to anger, long-suffering, calm in your spirit and not reactive is wise, is good. Let me close with this important note regarding angry people. Angry people are unhappy people because they lack two important ingredients to being happy. Number one, they are rarely at peace with others, constantly stirring up strife and issues. And number two, they are certainly not at peace with themselves. That doesn't rule out the most important peace you need to have, peace with God. If you have an issue with anger and anger controls you instead of the Spirit of God, Bible makes it clear, angry people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. People who have been forgiven by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been given a new heart and have transformed their heart to be in conformity to the life and person of Jesus Christ. That uphold this standard that to be quick-tempered, to be angry and explosive and a hothead, it's foolish. It's wrong. It doesn't fix or repair anything. It damages everything it touches. May we be people that God has called us to be slow to wrath. We live in a world who's trying to do their answers with anger. We don't go there, beloved. We don't belong to this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We belong to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we follow His principles and His precepts. And He has called each and every one of us to be slow to anger, long-suffering, patient endurance, forgiving, willing to cover and overlook insults and hurts. For the good in the end, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word this morning. Help us. The people who realized that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Help us to come to grips with the truth and the reality of those words. That to live a lifestyle of anger does not bring joy and peace, but strife, disunity, pain, and sorrow. Oh, Lord, do a work in our midst. Do a work in each and every one of our hearts. Help us to resolve to follow the path of wisdom, of being slow to anger and long-suffering. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.